Yeah. Welcome to season 5 of Sessions.
Yeah, it goes like this right here.
This is the year.
Like,
we get it.
Niggas always be hollering peace.
Season 1 was fun. Season 2, it was cool.
Every time I try to get a piece
season
of mind.
Season 3 was crazy.
Niggas try to get a piece of mind.
And season 4,
so I gotta grab my piece.
Got us ready.
It's the return of the gangsta. Gangsta.
This is the year we return to high stakes. This is the year we get our own place. This is the year we pay back every motherfucker we owe. This is the year. Listener note, if you would like to hear what happened at the beginning of this session and prior to it, if you would like my entire comeback story, 5 years in the making, including 2 deep World Series of Poker main event runs and numerous conversations with poker superstars such as Matt Moore, Garrett Adelstein, Doug Polk, Matt Berkey, and others, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF poker player and sign up to become a patron for $4.22 a month or more. Go ahead and do it right now. It just takes a few moments. And not only do you gain access to about 900 hours of private recordings, including part 1 of this episode, but you also get membership to DGAF Community, an online community of communal folk. Okay, just go do that right now and I'll wait for you. I'll take a sip of this Zevia cream soda while you do it. Okay, thanks for signing up. I hope you enjoy both all the content and the community. Poker session 63 of 150, Hustler Casino Live, 5/30/22, part 2. The stream continued. So we left off at the end of part 1, about 2 hours into the 5-hour stream on May 30th. And I had a rough start. I went up to LA extremely tired with a headache for days, and I did some CBT, that's cognitive behavioral therapy, on myself upstairs at the Hustler before I went on stage while sipping Modelo, and I felt okay about my mindset, but very tired and with a headache, and I got off to a rough start. I ran into it a few times, and then I lost a big flip. Well, it was about, it was over 8K pot against Sashimi. She had ace king, I had jacks. The $200 straddle was on. It was automatic that that money went in. And then I made a good fold with trips. And sometimes that can be a turning point in a session with regard to mindset and confidence. Of course, I didn't have validation that I made a good fold with trips until later. But I folded king 3 on king 7-6, king deuce. And Masato had king 7. And then I was already in for 10K. I bought him for 5. I had to add on another 5 quickly. I lost that flip. I was down 6 or 7K. And I was reaching in my wallet to grab another 5K chip. And I made a straight against Barry. And I got max value, which wasn't a ton due to the texture, but it was nice to win a pot. And all pots are big when it's 10, 20, 40, the $20 big blind ante and restraddles and all that. And then I induced a dust off from Drew. I had pocket aces. I made it 1,000 and he called and I just checked on deuce 3-4 and I feigned weakness and I called 2K with 1,400 left and he went all in on a 6 turn card with king queen. And I induced it with my play. And also, if there's one thing I think I did very well in this session, it's selling to my opponents a different hand strength than I actually had each time. That stuff matters. It's tricky because you can't slow the game down in most spots with Hollywooding. But it's part of the game. What you do, what you say, what you your hand movements, everything is part of it. And I felt like I did a good job of that on this night. And I don't know if it mattered at all to my opponents. I know they're not, most people aren't as focused on that shit as I am, live tells, but watching it back, I thought I did well. And yeah, it's nice to induce a dust off. And then I won a big flip. 8-5 of hearts against ace 6 of spades on 6-5 deuce, 2 hearts against Matthew on my left. And now I'm winning as we go into this part 2 of the review. And yeah, we're about 2 hours in and it's a fun game and I'm drinking heavily. I drink a lot when I drink in general, but my default when playing poker is to just kind of sip, just kind of keep like a steady drip of whatever beer I'm drinking going through my blood. But, you know, just so I don't get irritated, I enjoy the conversation more. I don't overthink. It's my one time of the week to decompress, which might sound odd that it's the biggest game I play each week is Monday night on stream. I play some 10, 20, 40 on the floor during the week, but this game is just way bigger. It's deeper. It's and it's also the only night of the week where I decompress, where I drink, you know, some serious volume. And I used to, I think this is my 8th time or 9th time on stage, and the first several times I was drinking heavily because I was apprehensive about being on stage. I've been an anonymous content creator for so many years. It made sense that I started playing on stream, but a lot of apprehension. I have less of it now. And I think on this day, I'm always medicating something, right? So I was medicating a headache that I had for days. And anyways, let's pick up. I will have timestamps for most of this part too. But it's all chronological. So if I don't, it just means, you know, the next hand I played after the previous timestamp. So at 2:35, which is about exactly 2 hours in the show, I raised with Ace Jack and Matthew on my left, who I beat in that big flip, 3-bet, and he's been 3-betting a ton. He's in tech, but he knows what he's doing at a poker table, and it doesn't take long for people to figure out I'm opening over half the hands I'm dealt. So he's 3-betting a ton. That's kind of annoying, but he's not annoying at all. And so I'm going to defend a ton, and I'm going to 4-bet pretty liberally, especially when two other players call. And they did, and I just decided to not 4-bet at the last minute. I have several leaks in my game, like everyone. But one of them is thinking that I'm ever going to get 5-bet bluffed. I'm just not. And I just thought Ace Jack was way ahead of his 3-betting range. Just like turns out he had King 8 suited. He thought that was way ahead of my opening range. It's not way ahead, but it's ahead. And I thought Ace Jack was way ahead of his 3-betting range. And I got two people cold calling, and they have, you know, vanilla hands or medium hands, whatever you want to call it. They have good hands, but not great hands. And it's a good spot to 4-bet, and I didn't. And that was bad, but sometimes your bad play preflop pays off. And I just called, and it came king, queen, queen, and we all checked. And the turn was a 10. Wow, I am a fucking luck box. That's a straight. I just bet half here. I felt like he probably checked back some showdown value, and he could have had king, queen. It's possible, but I bet half, and he called. And the river's an ace. For a final board of king, queen, queen, 10, ace, it's really hard to get paid here unless you have the worst image on the planet, which I always do, and you have to choose a very small sizing. I bet 700 and into, you know, a pretty big pot, and he made the crying call with king, 8. And Raver, my boy, commentator said it was a blocker bet. It was not a fucking blocker bet, man. I promise you it wasn't that. It was a value bet. It was as much value as I thought I could get on that texture with my hand. And it was right in this instance. Then the next note isn't a hand. So I play and then I review. I watch it back and I just take notes. And I could see it looks like I have a knot on my forehead. And that's just something that comes out when I'm short on sleep. So that's my tell that I haven't been sleeping much. And you can see it. Just kind of looks like I got bumped in the head. I did a lot of times when I was younger, but that's not what happened on this day. It's just means I haven't slept. And then I kind of lost the minimum, I thought, with Jack 10 against Queens. Matthew, 3-bet like he always does, and I called with Jack 10. It came King 9, 8, and I checked, and he checked in terms of 10. And I bet small just to, you know, have pair and open-ended, and it seemed right. And the river was a brick, and I checked, and he checked. And I probably would have had to call a river bet there, and it was nice. A lot of things worked out on this night. There's so much variance in poker, not just after you're all in or, you know, when you're waiting for a river card. There's so much variance, and I'll speak to some of it, or a lot of it, actually, in this drop. And one thing is he just decided he was probably shell-shocked and just didn't bet his queens there, and whatever table talk I was doing made him not want to bet. So now I defend 5-4 offsuit. I put the 80 on. It's 10-20 with a $20 big blind ante, $40 and 80. So a big game now. And DQ opened to 430. Could I fold 5-4 offsuit? Yeah, but we're deep. And this guy came from Texas. He seems awesome. Let's give him a little action. It comes ace-jack 4. I call about half pot bet. There are cards you can pick up. You can be ahead. You can be ahead of a hand like king queen, and you can any. The reason I call is I can bink more equity. I can bink the best hand. I can figure out he doesn't have an ace and maybe win the pot later. A lot of reasons. I can sometimes have the best hand. I just call. The turn's a queen. I check and he snap checks back. And obviously that's a card I'm gonna have to fold if he bets again. And I river a 5 for 2 pair and I bet half and. He called me with Jack 10. So he flopped second pair and he paid me off with third pair. And that's what my image is like. And so maybe I was being a little ambitious to think I could bluff him off the best hand later on. But that was just one of the reasons I called the flop. And that is variance to river the best hand. And then I had 10-9 of clubs. And I called 390 in what proves or what promises to be a very big pot. And my man Matthew squeezed to 2,400. And I thought about giving him action. And then the man on my right, Darren, folded 2 9s face up. He didn't know how still in the hand. So that's definitely going to make me fold. I thought about gambling with the 10-9 suited. I'm up a bunch. Not because I think it's a great play. Just because I think he deserves some action. But once you see the 2 9s gone, I'm definitely gone. And 10-9 suited can flop big, obviously. At 250, it's a bomb pot. I have queen 4 of hearts. It comes jack 6, deuce 2 hearts. I have butchered bomb pots more than anything on this stream. That's been the worst part of my game is bomb pots on this stream. I've bet too small in them. I've confused them with the bomb pots we play out on the casino floor. And so I just thought the pot was smaller. And so on this night, I want to play them a little bit better. Queen 4 of hearts, jack 6, deuce 2 hearts. I'm happy to check here. Barry fires, and Barry has different gears. Barry's the 5-seat. Barry Wallace is awesome. Fires. I can tell he's playing to win on this night. And he's, you know, this isn't light at all. And his sizing tells me my queen 4 of hearts might be fucked. And Drew calls, and I almost fold. I almost dig deep and just make the sick fold with queen 4 of hearts, getting, you know, good price on jack 6 deuce 2 hearts. I just decide not to, but my instinct was to fold, and I didn't. I just thought Barry had a better flush draw than I did, and the turn gives me a gut shot. I think it was a 3, and I check, Barry checks, yeah, consistent with a better flush draw or any flush draw, and Drew bets very small, 300. I have a gut shot and a flush draw. I call here. Barry calls, and the river's a 7 of hearts. And I don't even like making my flush here. I just knew it the whole time that Barry had a better flush draw. And I check, and he only has 1,010 left, and the pot's big. And Drew calls, and I think I'm thinking about flop still, where I wanted to fold. That would have looked like some Mike Postle shit if I just folded the queen high flush draw to 1-bet on the flop. But when I originally saw the Mike Postle hands, I was one of the dickheads that said, I don't think he's cheating. He's just playing against people that are fucking tell boxes. They're just telling what they have every hand with their, which is live poker, right? Because I'm very focused on that stuff. Well, he was cheating. Mike Postle was. So I apologized on Twitter or whatever. But I wanted to fold queen four of hearts in a bomb pot to one bet in a call on jack six, deuce, two hearts just because I thought my man Barry had a better flush draw a really high percentage of the time. And then I talked myself into, well, he could have the 10 high flush. And he had a better flush. And someone in the comments, just the YouTube comments, said I missed an opportunity that I should have min-raised after it got back to me, after Barry bet and Drew called. And that person is right. So I would say I played this hand D-. My goal is to play B- overall. I don't want to play A+. That shit is not good for poker. Just too many Tommy tryhards. You don't get to play like that on our stream. On Friday you can. Maybe Wednesday you can. You don't get to play like that on Mondays. Max Payne Monday? No, it's a social fun game. Nah. So I want to play B-. Some hands I will play very well. This one I butchered. And having that read on the flop is something that I have from being hypersensitive, hyperperceptive, and having more experience than just about anyone in live no limit hold'em. So I didn't use it, and I should have just folded the flop. It would have looked sketchy probably, but it was a read, and I didn't go with it, and that sucks. And then I should have. If I'm thinking at all, I'd say, oh, well, yeah, I probably lose to Barry. He's all in of 110. Drew called. Let's make it 110 more and try and get that river call back from Drew at least. And I didn't. And that person's right. I played that hand poorly. At 257.15, I open with ace-king. And Matthew's 3-betting me every hand. Every time he has a playable hand, he's 3-bet or fold on my direct left. And this gets annoying, but I'm up on him. So it's a lot less annoying, and I want a big flip against him. And so when you have, I didn't 4-bet the ace-jack, but ace-king is just way too strong to not 4-bet. And so I did, and he folded. And I was going to go with it. We're pretty deep. This guy kept buying in deep, but I was going to go with it. It's just such a, you know, ace-king is just a good hand. At 258.40, so that looks like perhaps the very next hand, I call. Sashimi opens to 120. So it's 10-20-40 with a $20 big blind. She opens to 120. I call in position with 6-5 offsuit. Do I think I'm ahead of her range? No. I don't think I'm ahead of anything in her range. Not one hand. I'm not. I'm way behind. But I can win. Plan A is to, I'm trying to think which one's plan A and which one's plan B. One of the plans is to make the best hand. Either she has big ace and I flop a pair, or she has a pair and I, or big cards, and or if she has a big pair and I flop two pairs or straight or something. But a big part of the plan, I don't know what's A and B, a big part of the plan is I'm going to bluff her a ton in position. And this is, you know, deep stack. Well, she's not super deep, but deep enough. No limit hold'em. Anyways, it comes 5-5-6 with two diamonds, and she leads 300 into 440. So it's multi-way. And what's she going to be leading with on 5-5-6, two diamonds? Over pairs, and I don't know, it kind of felt like it was a flush draw to me. And I'll find out on the turn if it's an over pair or not. Because an over pair is always checking the turn. And I call, and the other person folds. And the turn's a 9 of clubs. 5-5-6, two diamonds, and it's a 9, does not complete the flush, and any overpair here is checking. Why? Well, 8-7 just got there. I could have flopped trips. It's just, you just can't barrel off three streets with an overpair. No one does, and for good reason. It would be really bad. It would be a massive overplay. And, well, when she bets 800, okay, she's got a flush draw. This is fantastic. I flopped a boat. Let's give her a diamond on the river, and she'll probably bet and call my jam. The river's the 9 of diamonds. It's a weird fucking card. So 5-5-6, just to rewind it, Sashimi, who plays solid, open to 120. I called, someone else called, probably DQ. And we had 440 in there. And it came 5-5-6 with two diamonds. And Sashimi bet 300. And I called. And she either has a flush draw or an overpair. And the other person folded. And then a 9 came, completing the straight draw, but not the flush draw. She bet 800. Okay, I'm taking out all of her overpairs. Right or wrong, I don't know her that well, but any person that is a competent player is not barreling off with an overpair on that card. So she has a flush draw, most likely. And then the river completes the flush, but it's a 9 for 5-5-6-9-9, and she jams 3,400. And I know she doesn't play huge. This is a big jam, and this is confusing to me because I don't think she's going to bluff off her stack too often to me. The week before, she did fire a $2,500 bet, but she had that was the one time she kind of just spazzed. But I have to think here, and I did think, and I decided, well, does she have a 9? Nah, I don't think she's a 9. Like, how do you just bet a 9 on the turn? You just don't. Just like you don't bet an overpair, you don't bet a 9 on the turn. I decide she's just trying to own me. She thinks probably I'm a whale or a fish or whatever you want to call it. And her name is Sashimi. That's the irony in that. But I think she's just trying to own my face, just to have me call with something worse than a flush. And so I call, and she has King Jack of Diamonds. So I just put it together. It took a little longer than I like, but cut me some slack. I'm drinking heavily, talking the whole time, and I haven't been sleeping. I've had a headache for 3 days. So, yeah, well, it was just a pretty interesting hand. I got to the right conclusion, and the camera was on me. You can watch me go through it and get to it. And then the next hand, I just limp Jack 3 offsuit because, I don't know, I'm giving action. I just won a really nice pot against a pretty big punt. She's trying to own me. She thinks I will call with a worse flush. I never will, but she thinks I will, or a pocket pair, a bluff catcher. She probably just thinks I'm a fish. It's fine. What do we got here? Jack 3 offsuit, limp fold. It's just giving action. Do I think Jack 3 is a good hand? No, but I just won a bunch of thousands. I'll put in $40. Who gives a shit? I'm not gonna, let's go. And someone raised, I folded. Okay, then ace 6 of clubs. I limped, my boy Matthew raised, and bunch of people called. I called. It came ace, 9-3, 2 spades and a club. We all checked. I have top pair. The turn's a queen. I led, and Matthew called. And the river completes the front door flush. It's a deuce. I bet small on the river with my top pair. Matthew raised. He's very aggressive, bluffy. I snap folded. I knew he had it. He had it, turns out. He had ace, 9, I think. Okay. I limp with 10-6 of hearts. And just, this is... It's not just how you play on stream. It's how you play in any social fun game. You give action. You get in there with different hands. So it was 1,000 by the time it got back to me. So I folded, and then I noticed something. One of the cocktail waitresses was double dipping. Not her fault, but I was getting the tab for everyone, and I saw Masato got a sugar-free Red Bull Kettle One splash soda and gave her $20. But that was just a tip, basically. And I don't know, it's just something I put in my notes when I was watching it back. And Jack 10 offsuit, I punted 300. Not just the note I put, so it's not every, I'm not going to go through every single hand in depth. That would bore all of us. The next note is Masato's cool as fuck, because I wrote it because it's true. I really like this guy. I'm going to meet up with him in Vegas when I go out for the main event. He's welcome back anytime. And this proves the thing that I say about poker games all the time. You can be good at poker. I promise you, he's a very good player. As long as you're good for the game, then you're in. And he fits that perfectly. At 322.45, I make it 200 with ace-queen offsuit. So the 40's on automatically. It's part of the game now. It's 10-20-40, $20 big blind ante. There's always some limpage. I go to 200. Nice, easy amount. And I flop nothing and fold it. And the next hand, I call 200 with 8-7 of diamonds three ways, and it comes 5-4-3. And DQ bets, and I believe he was the preflop raiser, and I call. There's a diamond out there. A 6 would be the most amazing card, obviously. I would turn the nuts, or I could pick up a diamond, or I could hit 8 or 7, which might be good. The turn's a queen. I check, and if he bets, I'm going to fold my gut shot. He doesn't. He checks, and he's in position. So the river's a king, and now if he had some sort of piece of the flop, he likely doesn't have a 5 with a king, a 4 with a king, or a 3 with a king, right? It would probably be ace 3, ace 4, ace 5. So I lead 1,200 here on the river. I think I'm going to fold out those ace 3, ace 4. And he calls, and he has king 3 because he's DQ. And so it looks like a punt. It's not at all. It's just a very calculated play. Like, well, he flopped a piece. He didn't like the queen. That was an overcard or whatever his pair is. And so if he doesn't have a king, I just win here by betting 1,200. I think. Anyways, he called and won. I need another sip of the Zevia. I stole my daughter's cream soda, Zevia. Don't tell her. Okay. Bomb pot. 331.45. I have queen 9 and I win a small pot, I think, with top pair. So the notes, they vary. They're just very vague sometimes. And the hand, like the one against sashimi, I'll pause it and run through it. At 333.05, I 3-bet with queen 6 of hearts. And why? I don't know. It's fun. Try 3-betting. It's fun. 3-bet queen 6 of hearts. And having fun, winning, drinking, all that stuff. And it came 6-6-4 three ways. And it was one of those situations where I wasn't sure if I had queen 6 of hearts or queen 5 of hearts. You know, because I'm doing a lot of stuff. I'm ordering drinks. I'm paying. Like, and so I had to look at my cards. If I have queen 5 of hearts, I'm going to fucking win this pot with aggression. But I had queen 6 of hearts. Oh, my God. I flopped trips. Check it over to my man from Texas, DQ. And he bets. And I call. Trips. You know, a little trappy play. And trying to induce some bluffs. The turn's a 3. Not only do I have trips, but I have a flush draw. I check. He bets 630. I call. And my plan here, it does seem like he has a pair now. He has shut down most turns without a pair. It seems like he has a pair. Thinks he has the best hand against most 3-betting hands, you know, ace, king, I have queen 6, he's in a lot of trouble. So I'm going to lead the river, and the river is a 10 of hearts. It gives me a flush, actually. I lead 2,000, and he calls me with 7-4. So he called my 3-bet with 7-4 because he gives action. He has fun. And it came 6-6-4, and he value bet when I checked to him. I had trips. And then on the 3, he has a straight draw also, so he bet again. Makes sense. And then the 10, it just looks like I'm punting it off. I flopped trips and made a flush, and I bet 2,000, and he called with pretty light bluff catcher. So maybe bluffing him was just a bad plan, but I never had played with him before, and I'd only seen a couple highlights of him busting Andrew Niemi and Doug Polk, so I didn't know anything about him other than he was action. I thought I could bluff him. I don't know. Maybe that was ambitious, but in other hands. In this one, I just got full value. At 337.40, I call with queen 5 of clubs, and it's multi-way, and it comes 9-8-3 with 2 clubs. Flush draw. I bet 300. It gets back to sashimi, and she, you know, she's picked up on me trying to win every hand because, well, it doesn't take long to pick up on that. I've been doing it for a long time, my whole career. And it works much better in shorthanded games than full ring. But if you're mixing in turning over winners, then it works okay in full ring too. So I bet here 300, and she check raises to 1K with an odd stack behind, maybe like 12, 1400 behind. And I think this is light-ish. And either way, I'm not folding my flush draw here. I talked to her a little bit. And I decided that, you know, and I think about it a little bit. She wouldn't be taking this line with a better flush draw. She would just be jamming a better flush draw, and then I could fold. And so what's she really repping here on this? Not a whole lot. And so I'm going to go all in, but I also want to sell it and say some bullshit to make her think that I have a made hand and not a draw. And I go all in. She folds, getting a good price with the best hand. She had 10-8. So Raver, the commentator, was doing great at the beginning of the stream, in my humble opinion. And he kept talking about the cute girl tax. Like people just, you know, giving sashimi money. Well, I wrote in my notes, this is the cute boy tax, Raver. Well, I was just being stupid. But it's nice. Everything's kind of going my way now in this session. And you'll see more of that coming up in this hand. At 340, 30, Drew opens to 120. He plays a lot of hands. He opens, you know, his good ones. And I have pocket jacks. I go to 400. And Matthew on my direct left is not at the table. And you can see he had king, queen of spades. And that would change this whole hand one way or another. He would at least call here. He might three bet. I think it would probably change the hand. Maybe not. And here's what I mean. So I three bet to 400 and it clears out and Drew calls. And when he calls, I just think the first hand that pops in my head is pocket 10s. He just open, snap, call. Okay, he has a pocket pair, lower than mine. 865, he leads 1100 quickly. Okay, he probably didn't flop a set. He could have pocket 7s. I think he has pocket 10s, easy call. He pots at 1100. Or I guess that's a little bit more than pot. And the turn's a queen. Okay, that's an action killer. I don't like it. He's probably going to check, and then I'm going to have to bet small-ish to get value from his hand, or maybe I can bet big, given my image. He bets 2K. All right, snap call. I still think he has 10s. And the river, so I guess if Matthew had cold 4-bet, he wins this pot, because we call, and then unless Drew leads the flop and Matthew folds king-queen, but Matthew would have turned the best hand. Anyways, he's gone. And that's part of variance. He's just happened to be up from the table. And anyways, the river's the ace of spades. And now Drew leads 3K. And just to rewind this hand, he opened a 120. I 3-bet jacks to 400. Standard. Everyone folded. Drew called 865. He led 1100. A little over pot. Pretty consistent with what I thought he had preflop 10s. Turns a queen. He bet 2K. A little bit surprising with 10s, but I snapped it off. And there was an ace of spades, and he bet 3K, which is surprising. Like, now we're really talking about a surprising move with 10s. And I just thought he had 10s the whole time. But I said, oh, this got away from me a little bit. And I said, no, call. I think he has 10s. And I looked up real quick, and he said 10s. And I didn't even worry about getting slow rolled because I thought he had 10s the whole time. And I didn't think about slow rolling because when you're winning all the money, you should turn off your slow rolls. For the most part. And this was not a good spot. I've been running hot against everyone. I just showed my jacks. And then I flexed my and looked at my right bicep, which, I don't know, I was feeling it. I've been down for fucking 5 years. I'm on my way back up. This is, you know, it's just one hand where I felt like, man, I just went with my read. I think you have this exact hand. Is that old school? Yeah, I'm old school. So I got the chips. And next hand, I pocket kings. Jesus. What a little heater. I was at the first check on the cumulative winnings. I was the biggest loser, and probably the second check. I was down 7K. And it's just like a switch has been flipped. And it feels like that at the table where sometimes it gets flipped down where you're just not going to make any hands. And mine's been flipped up here. I've been plugged back in. And I pocket kings. I raise to 200. Matthew goes to 700. And I go to 2,400. And he's all in for 13,340. And I have kings. You don't love it when the guy puts in over 300 big blinds. But on stream especially, you're just never thinking about folding kings. So I snap it off. And he had ace king. And I held. And that was a fucking 27K pot. And you see one of my chips bounces into Darren's stack. And we just have a little laugh about that. And I said, you owe me that 100, and I give it to Lauren, the dealer. And Matthew handled it so well. You can tell if I lost that pot, I would be sad because I'm poor. He's rich, probably, or, you know, just doesn't have the financial stress that I do. I shouldn't say I'm poor because I make a lot of money, but I have a lot of financial stress. Yeah, lucky to get kings against ace king and lucky to hold. Pocket nines. I raised to 120. Matthew goes to 400. He's reloaded, obviously. I call and it comes king, 10, 10. We both check. Turns a five. We check. River's a queen. We check. And he had jacks. So I could have lost a lot more with nines against jacks, but the board ran out well and I never tried to bluff or didn't think value bet was in order. And the talking game worked as well. And it's kind of my session so far. Let's see how the rest of it goes. It's time for my best play here. At 3:48, I call dark. Just something I do a lot. I like to do it under the gun. I'm really good post-flop. I'm decent pre-flop. So calling dark is fine. DQ goes to 330. Gets back to me. I look down at my hand. I have ace king. Oh, shit. I go to 1,000. He calls. Okay. It comes 872 with two clubs. I don't have a club. I have ace king, offsuit. I check. He bets 1,800. This is a fold, except I go with my read this time. This is my hand's best. Ace king's best here. I'm going to call 1,800 on 8-7 deuce, two clubs. Turns a six. I check. He checks. The river's a nine of clubs. Now a lot of hands beat me. I check. He bets 2750. He says 2750. And I fold. I know he got there. I know he made a flush. I don't know how I know, but I know I went with it. And I even said, I haven't played very many hands that well tonight, but I played this one well. I did. I popped it pre-flop with ace-king against the worst ace that was suited. And I check called on 8-7 deuce, two clubs, 1,800, about pot with ace-king. You don't do that without a read. I had a read. I was locked in for one hand at least on this night. Then we checked. There's no point in doing anything besides that. And then I folded to the river question mark bet. 2,750, folded, and announced I played that hand well. I was feeling myself. Don't hate me for that. Really fun table on this night, and that's something someone whose son runs would say. But Matthew is just a very nice guy, and you can tell he plays in games where they don't slow roll and all that, but he handled it all perfectly. 403, I limp 10-9. So 403 is 3.5 hours in the show. Call three ways against Matthew and DQ, and it comes jack 8-5. All diamonds, and I have the nine of diamonds and DQ bets, and I say, I don't trust these diamonds. It's maybe the dumbest thing I've ever said at a table, just being stupid. I enjoy being stupid, and I called, and here's variance. I had the nine of diamonds and the turns of three of diamonds, and I won against whatever DQ had. I was open-ended with a flush draw. Well, Matthew folded the ten of diamonds. It's just, what if he decided to call? Then there's a lot of variance. So at 405, 45, I raise with pocket jacks. Drew calls. It comes ace, king, queen. And I just checked it down, 5-8, and I won against whatever he had. So he didn't try and bluff me. I have all the momentum. When you have all the momentum, no one's going to take shots at you. When you don't, it's blood in the water. And people that normally will play passively against you are going to come after you. And that's why run good leads to play good. And vice versa, and there's definitely a snowball effect to all of it. I limp folded 7-6 off. So I'm just kind of running through the hands. I was taking notes, and at 4-10, it's a bomb pot. I have king 5, and this is interesting. It comes queen jack 10, and we all check. And the turn is a 9, and that gives me a straight, and there are two diamonds and two spades. And Drew leads not very big, and I folded, and I was starting to get pretty buzzed. And I thought I picked up on something on one of the players, not Drew, one of the other players. I thought I picked up on someone really liking that board when he bet. And it doesn't mean I did. Sometimes you just imagine this stuff or you just see something, especially when you're buzzed, you just see something that isn't quite there. Someone just maybe like farted and sat up in their seat instead of sat up in their seat because they really liked it. And I thought this person really liked it. I didn't think they farted. And I folded to someone behind who hadn't acted on the turn. And they raised. And turns out they had me beat. So it's just kind of a lucky soul read. I've played, I don't know, fucking 50,000 hours of live No Limit Hold'em. Sometimes I just see shit and when I'm really on my game, I just go with it always. And I did here, and it happened to be right. It doesn't mean, oftentimes people will sit up in their seat like, oh my God, like because they're excited. Sometimes they'll do it because they just farted. And I didn't think this player had farted. Or I thought it was more they liked the board, and they ended up raising, and they had ace king of spades. So I was just fucked. And I don't know. Worst play alert. At 416, so I'm definitely getting buzzed and getting fancy and all that. I squeeze pocket fives to 1,200. It's pretty bad. It got through all the, the opener and the first bunch of callers, but Darren called, of course, on the button. And it came 10-9-4 with two diamonds and a heart. And I checked and he bet. I called one time with fives. The turn was a seven of hearts. I checked, he checked. And the river was a five. I rivered a set like a true luck box. And it was a five of diamonds. And I bet $1,000 into a pretty big pot. I had squeezed to 1,200. And yes, you do have to tone it down when the flush draw gets there on the river. But it just was way too small. So it was my worst play. The preflop squeeze is ambitious. You think it's going to typically, if someone opens, a bunch of people call. If you think you can get past the first two people with your squeeze, it's a good squeeze. Well, I did. I got past all of them except for Darren, and now we're flipping. I'm out of position with anything he has. And it came 10-9-4, and I check called. And yeah, that's fine. And then with fives and then seven of hearts, I would have to fold if he bets. And five of diamonds, river the set as the flush gets there. And yeah, I can't bet like all in here because he obviously doesn't have a very strong hand and the front door flush draw completed, but I can definitely bet 2,000 instead of 1,000. It's a $1,000 mistake. So next time I see Darren, I'm going to tell him he owes me $1,000. He had a 10, I believe. I think he had Jack 10 offsuit. So it's okay. I'm not going to be hard on myself for making mistakes when I'm being very social and, you know, I'm not trying to play every hand my best. No, that's a fucking bad look. If I'm running bad and losing, I will try harder. If I'm running good and winning all the money, I'll give some EV that way too, of like, whatever. You know, just here, 1,000 instead of, I should definitely bet at least 2,000 here. And so, Darren, if you're listening, you owe me $1,000 because you know you would have called two. You called one immediately, you know you would have called two. I made it 1,200 pre. So I think that's fair, right? He owes me 1,000. I was slurring a little bit, and that just is what it is. I'm tired, and I'm starting to get drunk. Good. It's my Monday nights are my night to decompress. Yeah, it's also when I play high-stakes poker, but who cares? No one, I mean, I've just done it forever. I can do it. 423, I raised with ace-8 offsuit. And, you know, Barry leads on 9-6-5. Okay, so this is a 9, a good percent of the time. I have a gut shot and an overcard. I call, and the turn's a 10, and he checks. And I said Barry's trying to win. I don't know if I said that in part 1 or part 2. I think he's trying to win. I think I just said it in this part. And I have all the momentum. I've turned over winning hands, and that really matters because we're all human. And just, oh, this guy is hot tonight. He's making hands. He has good hands. So I just pot it here. I take a big sizing, and Barry folds ace 9. Okay? So this would never work if I'm running bad and losing. He would never fold ace 9 and 9-6-5-10. But I'm using my momentum. And hopefully next time I don't have the momentum, I'll check back that 10 on the turn, right? Because it's not going to work. It's a punt. But when you have all the momentum and you're dominating the table by, you know, luck boxing your way to it, you got to keep your foot down. Oh, just pot it here. You have to fold that whatever 9 you have. And he did. And then at 427, I limped queen 10 and someone raised and I called three ways. Came 10-6-6 and drew bet and I called. And the turn was a 10. Oh my God. I'm a fucking new pro. I just run like one. And I have tens full of sixes. And drew bets again. Okay, maybe we're chopping, but whatever. This is awesome. Call. River's a queen. Are you kidding me? This is like, I'm fucking huge luck box. And he bombs. He bets 2K. And what's funny is I was being criticized, Raver, at the beginning of the show for putting money in against Drew when he always has it. Drew had 4-3 here. On 6-6-10-10 queen. He had king queen on deuce 3-4-6. He does not always have it. He's a very capable, wealthy man who, I didn't mind my calls when he had it, and I don't mind slow playing and deucing when I do have it. And I went all in. He got away from the 4-3 on 10-6-6-10 queen. But just running like God, and I put on one of DQ's shirts, and I tell him, I like the shirt, but it's itchy. Let me make you some from Poker Eggs. And he said, no, I work with someone already. Wear that one. I said, okay. You can see, and it brings me back to the session. The thing I was most worried about during this session is the chips are pretty slippery at Hustler. And I had a lot of them. I wasn't worried about that part. But my man Matthew on my left, every time he won a pot, it would get pushed directly up against my chips, so his card reader box was still open, and then he would stack them from there. And like every time he won a pot, I was worried my chips were just going to fall into his, and the game would have to stop, and we'd have to figure out who gets what. And my stack is never accurate. My stack, it doesn't account for tips. And so I tip and spend on drinks $1,000 a night, maybe, on a Monday. So it would be a pain in the ass to figure it out. And I just kept worrying about that. You can see it. And so what I do is when I watch back, I take notes and remember. And at 440, I made it 120 with pocket eights. DQ went to 420. Masato called. I called. Came ace-jack six. Folded. Then I bomb pot. Nothing. 455. So 4.5 hours in, we got about... No. Yeah, we got about a half hour left. Joe Cool. So I didn't play many hands against Joe Cool. The... what was he? The seven seat. He went to 140... Drew called. I went to 700. I think I had queens or kings. I know I had one of those pairs, queens or kings. I went to 700, and DQ called and Drew called. So the opener folded, and I got DQ and Drew, the action guys. And there is 2,100. No, there's more than that. There's like 2,500 in the pot. I have queens. And it came jack six forward, two hearts, and I bet 1,100. And I'm okay with this. And DQ called on jack six, four, two hearts. And the turn's a nine of spades. And he has about pot behind. And maybe a little bit more. But I think, yeah, right about pot behind. And I just checked to induce a jam. And I induce these jams all the time. But, and so he didn't jam. So that doesn't mean it was wrong. But I'm telling you, in the moment, I thought it'd be better to just keep firing. I just thought it'd be better to keep firing, even though checking to induce a jam here, like, oh, you squeezed, and then you c-bet, and now you're giving up. That's when people would jam a lot. Well, I have overpair. I would snap it off, obviously, with queens. But it was jack six, four, two hearts, and, you know, he called the 1,100, nine of spades. He took his free card, and the river was the ace of hearts, and I checked, and now he bet, not a jam, but a lot of his stack, most of his stack. And I really thought he was bluffing. I just didn't execute. Obviously it's a horrible card if you three bet and he calls and Drew calls. So Joe Cool opened, Drew called, I three bet, kings or queens, I think queens, and DQ called and Drew called my three bet. So probably have 2,500 out there, and it came jack six, four, two hearts. Good flop for queens. I bet 1,100. I like this amount. It looks like, you know, an amount people would bet when they didn't hit this flop or don't have anything. And DQ called and Drew folded. Turns a nine of spades. My instinct was to keep betting, right? And maybe even to just shove because he has about pot behind. But I went beyond my instinct, which is another play that works well, is to check to induce the shove after you look like you gave up in a hand. And anyways, he checked, and I got punished. Ace of hearts is a horrible card. I check. I think he's bluffing. It takes me forever to fold my queens. I do, and then he showed 7-5. So I give him props for pulling off that bluff on the river. I kind of fucked up. It was a combination of him playing good and me fucking it up. And that's fine. I'm happy to fuck up hands. At 501, Joe Cool goes to 140. I call with queen three of hearts, and DQ squeezes, and we call on. That's pretty loose action. I didn't think I flopped anything. Raver is the commentator on Max Payne Mondays, and him and I are working with Ryan and Patrick and everyone else to really boost this show. And so I give him objective feedback on his commentary because this is the only show I watch back all the way to take notes. And I thought he crushed it at the beginning. I love his intro. He's letting the game breathe. At the end, he kind of fell into a bad habit of just talking to the chat and talking over the table talk. And it's not that I think what we're talking about is that important. It's too much. Maybe I'm just sensitive. It's too much. Like, I just want to hear one conversation at a time. And so he did a great job for most of it, and he kind of fell in a bad habit of just, he's just talking, oh yeah, chat, like this and that. And it's just because he's a social dude. He should have a fucking podcast, 100%. Great talker, great voice, and was killing it, in my opinion, for the first half of the show. And then he's just, it's just hard for me to watch when he's talking to chat about something and you hear all these, this conversation at the table, and you can't hear it because the table mic is obviously lower, and I don't know. So that's just constructive criticism for my boy. Don't talk over the table. It's simple. That's like the first thing Dave Tuckman told me. He's like, it's cool. You just turn your mic off when they're talking. And I do that all the time. I don't know. It's just trying. It's not for any other reason than trying to help him and trying to help this show. 509, I open to 120 with queen seven of diamonds. It's kind of an okay hand. Ace 5-3, it checked three ways. 10, I bet. It's kind of a weak, lame play, and Drew had a 10 and called and won. I defended 8-6 offsuit, flopped nothing and folded. DQ flopped a flush, so unlucky for him that when he flopped something, I had absolutely nothing because he had earned some action from me. I defended Jack-7 offsuit, and I punted off 200 on a river, just some weak bet, you know, that's just ambitious, and someone had something, they called. Let's see if I can ramp up the aggression to finish the session. See if I can play a few hands well at the end. At 5-13-15, Joe Cool opened, and I 3-bet with pocket eights and to 1,220. And this is okay. This guy seems like a pro to me. I thought I was told he was not a pro, but he seemed like a pro. That's okay. Pros are going to try and get on stream, and typically they're not allowed. It's a entertainment show. Anyone's allowed to play in my games on the floor, but this is entertainment and whatever. He was cool anyways, Joe Cool. So I 3-bet and he called, and it came Jack 10-4, and we checked. That's not great for eights. And the turn was a 9, and so I'm open-ended, and it went check, check. And the river was another 9. I put a value bet out there with eights. After 3-betting to 1,220, I put a little, just a $400 value bet, just to maybe pay for half of my drink tab on this night, on Jack 10-4-9-9, and he called with deuces. So that's a good play. It's funny. I talk about my good friend Pete, who was one of the best players I ever played against, and he ran so bad for a year, he got out of poker, and he went to some exchange in Chicago, and I'm sure he's way happier than being a poker pro. That was a long time ago. He said, just because you know what they have doesn't mean you get to win. It's true. And when you're running bad, there's nothing you can do. When you're running good, knowing what people have really helps. And it was a nice little $400 value bet. I wanted to play better after playing some couple hands bad. I opened 10-5 of diamonds and DQ called, and it came Jack-Jack-7. I led small. I'm going to hit him with the small bet, big bet on this texture. And he called in the turns of 4, and I led pot, and he folded. So, all right, now I'm playing like me a little bit again. I call with 5-17. I call 4-3 offsuit on the button. Comes ace-10-deuce. Okay, that's a good flop. That's a gut shot. I bet 380, and whoever opened folded, and Drew called, and it seemed like he might have a gut shot. I have a gut shot, and the turn's a 9, and he checked. I bet 1,200. I'm just going to keep betting here, and he folded. So now I'm starting to manufacture pots again, getting thin value. It's like a second wind. I started off not settled, tired, and spewing, which I always do, and running into it. And then I started running like God and playing pretty well and going with my reads. And then I kind of fell off towards the end of the session. And then I ramped it back up and played a bunch of hands well in a row. Good, strong bluffs. Not these weak ass check the flop and try and bet small in the turn. No one's a folding shit to me. So I liked that. And then at 5-19-15, made it 300. With queen nine of clubs, and everyone called, and I came ace deuce four rainbow, and I folded. I fit in my weekly live at the bike joke. I always say I'm going to work there. It's just a dumb joke. I always like to fit in while I'm on stage at Hustler Casino Live. And anyways, the stream ended, and I was up over 40K. My VPIP was over 50%, and I was the most aggressive player at the table with the preflop raise. I didn't write down what it was, but Yeah, I guess the goal is to play a third of the hands in full ring. I've been over 50 2 weeks in a row, maybe even 3 weeks in a row. Or I was in the high 40s 1 week. So I don't know. It's when you're really God, you can play, you can just get in there. And then after the stream, if you recall last week after the stream, I made the mistake of letting people play who weren't playing on stream. And it's just unfair because you've been putting on a show for 5 hours, drinking, talking, blabbering your fucking mouth off. And now someone gets to come in who's fresh, relatively speaking. And anyways, but I let Mark Goon in because he's awesome. I love Mark Goon. And I ran good against him. It was me, him, and Masato. And I ran it up. And then Mark left and some recreational player came in and not as good as Mark Goon. And I ran horrible for the rest of the night. And I turned a big win into a loss. Of course, the previous two Mondays, I gave Ryan for State Kings over 5K right after the session each time. This time I gave him about 10K. So, well, I didn't give him. I sent it to State Kings. But so, so it said I won 40. I really won 30 because I'd given 25% of my action to the chat pros, which I'm happy to do. And so after the stream, Masato and DQ are stuck. And so is Sashimi. They're all trying to get unstuck. And I'm tired. I want to go eat, but I'll never quit. And so I play a big one with ace-queen against... ace-queen with the ace of diamonds against two black eights. And it comes jack-10-x, diamond-diamond-diamond. So I have the nut flush draw and a gut shot. And I just, I lost 5K in that hand to two black eights. I just ran poorly in that hand, and then pretty much Sashimi got unstuck, so she was gone, and this isn't the very last hand. This is the last hand before we went to $200 bomb pots. These guys were making it huge. Masato and DQ, they're stuck. They're trying to get unstuck, and I hate to do it, but I'm just folding because they're opening to, I think we're just playing 2040 this play. They're opening to like 500, 345. They're just tilted trying to get unstuck. And so you can't play many hands and you shouldn't. And I finally get ace jack of clubs and it's 430 or whatever from DQ. And I make it 2000 and he calls and looks away and says, I don't want to see this flop. And it comes three spades and I check and he says, I'm not looking. And he checks. He has not looked at the flop. And the turn gives me a gut shot. I'm not betting here. I check. There's three spades. I have ace jack of clubs. And he's still not looking. So, and then the river gives me the straight. And I check one more time. And he looks. Now he looks and he pots it. 4K or whatever. And I snap call, obviously. And he flopped a flush. It was a really weird hand. He had ace deuce of spades. I had ace jack of clubs. 2K in preflop. And 4K in on the river. When he didn't look at the flop or turn, this guy's a character. Very fun to play with. Also a pretty tough player. The bomb pots, I didn't win any of them. And so, poor me. Played 7 hours on this day and only won $19,000. I know, right? All right, let's check the scoreboard. See how we're doing on the year. See how we're looking towards... having a season 6 of sessions in 2023. The countdown to 2023 scoreboard check. After week 21 of 50. So 42% of our way through the journey. Hours, I played 17 this week. So I'm at 346 hours on the year. The pace is 315. We are 31 ahead of that, I believe. Yep. And I'm trying to get to 750 hours this year, which is a lot of volume for me. It wasn't early in my career. It is at this stage of my career when I have so many other careers besides professional poker player. So wins, I have every time I win, I get 5 points. And every time I lose, it's minus 5 points. Two wins and one loss. So 5 points on the week and 105 points on the year. We are right on pace. And we're trying to get to 250 points. 50 weeks, try and get average 5 points, try and have average 2 wins and 1 loss. Well, we're right there. 42 wins and 21 losses on the year so far. All right, let's check out what's going on with the Patrons. Matt Owen signed up. Thank you, Matt Owen. Someone at 1688 went to 422. That's cool. Go to whatever tier you want. D. Schmerds signed up. Thank you, D. Schmerds. Uno Moss went to $100 a month. That is the highest tier. And that involves, or it just has endless perks. And then a Discord channel as well, which I'll be setting up this week. I'm going to be driving up to Hustler. I'm recording this on the 3rd. I'm driving up right after I'm done to go do the Friday show, but I'm going to work on some stuff when I get to Hustler on my laptop, and setting up that Discord will be one of the things. Thank you, Uno Moss. Swamp Johnny signed up. Thank you, Swamp Johnny. It's 4 points. Jake and Mark Goon signed up as Straddlers, 844. That includes Slack. You get all the content. You get the forum. You get Slack. Thank you very much, Jake and Mark Goon, and congratulations. Mark Goon just got married. 3 people deleted. And so people are seeing, I think they're seeing me win a lot of money on stream, and it's not the same story for them anymore. I think that's what's going on. Also, I think many people that were patrons didn't have their RSS feed hooked up correctly, and I did 5 private drops in a row, so maybe they thought I wasn't putting out content. I certainly was. But yeah, it's just rare to get a bunch of deletes. And some people sign up and then cancel in a few days. They're neurotic. I don't know. Mike signed up. Thank you, Mike. Another person deleted. And then Andrew signed up. And then someone went down to 844. So they were higher and they decided this is the tier I want. And someone went down to 422. And that's cool. Go to the tiers you want. Do it based on perks. I'm going to make money. I'm still in debt, but I have, enough jobs where I'm going to make money to get out of debt. And so go, 422 is very fair for all the content and the community, and then go to whatever tiers you want. And we had a lot of declined cards, and we actually netted minus 12 patrons this week. What the fuck? And the funny thing is, these 3 Mondays, I've won on stream, I've won over 80K. And personally, I've lost money due to the State Kings paying them, being in makeup, and then losing after the stream. And then doing my own giveaways. I give a patron 1% of everything I win up to whatever they've pledged lifetime. And I don't care. I'm not trying to complain. It's just, it seems like, oh, this guy's just winning all the money. Fuck him. And that's fine. Yeah, fuck me. I agree with that. But I've actually not won a dollar in the last 3 weeks. I've been in makeup and had some, done poorly after a stream. And it used to be the opposite, though. It used to be I lost 5 out of 6 first times I played on stream, and I won every single time after the stream, including to book a win for the whole day. And so whatever. That's minus 48 points. Yikes. We're at 556 points on the year on this line, patrons. So we're 252 ahead of pace. The pace is 304. And we're trying to get to 600. But we were over 600 last week. We're down to 556. Interesting. Poker Rags. Rohan from Knoxville, Tennessee, bought something off my page on Poker Rags. If you go to pokerags.us and you click on Team Poker Rags, you'll see DGAF. Click on that. There are many options to choose from if you want to put a point on the board and get something very comfortable. And if you saw the stream that I just covered, I was wearing my Session Season 5 shirt. I think it's fucking legit. It's a dragon and it has a 5 at the end, of the tail. Anyways, thank you, Rohan. One time in Bakersfield, bought something. Thank you, one time. Sean in Brookline, New Hampshire, bought something. 3 points. So 3 points this week, 48 on the year. Slow year for me. Still waiting on some designs. And the pace is 178. So 130 behind pace here. I'm trying to get to 423 points. So the one that matters, there's 4 different ways to score points. And then the accumulation is the countdown to 2023. And this week we scored minus 23 points. It's the worst week I've ever had. and since the scoreboard was invented. And we have 1,055 points now on the year. Pace is 850. We're 205 ahead of pace to get to 2,023 points, but we are no longer a lock whatsoever to have another season of this shit. And that's just the story. Sessions is brought to you by Poker Rags. Poker Rags, we dress poker players. Sessions is also brought to you by the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. Lowest rake, best food, and craziest action in town. If you would like to have access to every drop of Sessions, over 700 of them and counting, plus access to my other podcast, Solicited Advice Podcast, and or you want to be a part of the sick as fuck community I'm building, DGAF Community, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF Poker Player and sign up to become a patron today.